What happens when a Catholic deacon matches wits with a Catholic radio show host? You get a marriage made in heaven. They may not always agree, but they're always faithful. It's the Aikens with their View from the Pew on Modern Day Radio.
And welcome to this episode of View from the Pew. I'm your host, Brenda Aiken, and joining me today is the man who's seeing the world a little crooked these days, the good deacon, Scott Aiken.
Well, a little less crooked after I got back from the chiropractor. Yeah, I threw my back out about 2 weeks ago from probably way too much sitting at my mid-50s lifestyle. I can't be sitting like I used to when I was younger. And so one day I just had a terrible back pain, and it was from sitting all day in a chair at a hotel doing the work we had to do from the hotel, because the office we were supposed to meet in had a fire alarm go off and we had to regroup via internet. So anyhow, it was that still lingered. It's been about 2.5 weeks, but you know, when the back goes out when you're 50, the doctor said when you're 20, it's back within a day or two. And each 10 years of your life, it takes about a week longer. So I'm 57. It's probably going to take me maybe
hopefully not three weeks.
3 weeks or four weeks to get back to where I was. But but it reminded me, you know, the humility of it is that I need to just do regular self-care.
Yeah, you know, the human body was not created by God to sit and be sedentary. We actually were created to work. And, you know, when you sit at a certain angle and you're looking down at your screen, all of us can attest to feeling that sometimes that's not a natural position, but that we are meant to exercise. We are meant to exert our bodies. And that was a good reminder for us, because we got back in this recent sunny weather that we've had to get out and do our walking. It is so important. And, you know, that's just that reminder about the temple that our bodies are, that God gave us these bodies. We should be exercising it. We most definitely need to be putting in healthy food, maybe more so than what we've been doing here lately. But again, all these little humbling reminders that say that we should be taking care of ourselves. That's not to say, though, that this is a punishment for what you've done, but we did just take a moment and pray over it. We can have these ailments too, and we should turn to prayer to help us through that. That's another good reminder.
Yeah, I think, you know, we can take advantage of God's authority that he gives us to rebuke sickness. God did not create illness, did not create suffering. That's just a condition of our life. And as Jesus exemplified, to go around and heal the sick, cast out those who are challenged with evil, and to bring about the good news. Well, we should think about that, with especially with one another. You know, and in marriage, I think husbands, wives praying over one another is often like overlooked, isn't it?
Well, I will say that for sure. As we always start our shows, before we begin recording, we pray. And when you asked me to pray for my healing, I was like, whoa, I don't know that I should be doing that. But 100%, I should be praying and asking the Lord to heal your back, because he will. If it's not healed, it's because, I'll just say, Jesus wants you to learn something about yourself and your suffering. How's that for
he's gonna he'll make good of the suffering to my advantage.
Oh, but hopefully that healing will come sooner, because we are all entering into a really big week. I used to call it, it's like Super Bowl week for Catholics. As we come to this weekend, it's Palm Sunday, and that is kind of this ushering in of Holy Week. We've talked about this before on View from the Pew. As a permanent deacon for the Archdiocese of Seattle, you've got a big week ahead. And so, back pain or not, you've got some responsibilities.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's a very good point. And I made a comment to you earlier this week that I remember, must have been 4 years ago, where I had a back problem when I was doing Stations of the Cross on Good Friday. And I told the community, you know, my back went on today. That was 4 years ago. So I don't know if there's a connection to that back pain. Thanks to things to dwell on, but no, it's a blessed week, and I will be doing certainly a lot to help out Father Nathy and the community to celebrate the Passion of our Lord well, and the day of resurrection. So I'm practicing my exultet to sing at the Easter Vigil, which is just the highlight of my experience as a deacon, to be able to pray with those who are coming into the church and to set the church on a path for the new year in a way with a new Easter candle. Yeah, all that's exciting.
It's a wonderful time and we are getting excited for it, but we have got to pause and recognize the value of each part of Holy Week. We've got to get through Passion before we can get to that Easter sunrise. So today on View from the Pew, we have no special guest, but we're going to spend some time throughout the show talking about each one of these special days, beginning with Palm Sunday, and about some of the things I experience as being a wife of a deacon who sits in the pew by myself sometimes, or family that join us, versus you who are experiencing it from the altar.
And when we come back, we'll continue to share about that. But I think in contrast to the fact that we're starting March Madness with basketball, there's things that come about that are of the world that might distract us. How do we keep focused on the Lord's Passion this week and walk with Him? That's what we hope to do today.
So we got a great show ahead for you on this week's View from the Pew. Stay with us.
Because I'm happy, clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy, clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy, clap along.
Join Mater Dei Radio and Father Eric Anderson in a prayer to Saint Joseph.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Saint Joseph, you are the chaste and loving spouse of the Virgin Mary, the foster father of Jesus, the protector and provider of the Holy Family and all families. We have complete confidence in your loving care for new life and in your fidelity to the family. We commend our efforts to your prayers and protection. Help us always to defend the gift of human life, that it may grow to the abundance of eternal life promised and bestowed on us by your Son, our brother, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For more prayer resources, and to let us know how we can pray for your intentions, please visit MaterDeiRadio.com.
This Holy Week, let us slow down and focus on our Lord's Passion through the eyes of Mary. Our Blessed Mother knew Jesus from his miraculous birth to his sorrowful death. The prophecy of Simeon predicted that Mary's own soul would be pierced with a sword. And how quickly the crowds turned from welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to condemning him to death. We reflect on the fear Mary must have had hearing the crowds cry out, "Crucify him." Mary sees her son take up his cross and fall three times as she stands distressed, unable to help him. Our Lady watches as the robe she made for him is ripped from his flesh. Mary was the first one to hear Jesus say, "I thirst," and now she hears him cry out these words from the cross. Mourning, she receives her dead Jesus from the altar of the cross. She buries in death the son she gave birth to. O Mary, renew your motherhood to us now and at the hour of our death.
Would you like to make your spring cleaning plans a little easier this year? Let Mater Dei Radio give you a hand. If you have a car, truck, van, RV, or boat that you would like to clear out, our vehicle donation program is just the answer. You can donate your vehicle to Mater Dei Radio and get a likely tax deduction in return. It's quick and easy, giving you a real jumpstart to your spring cleaning. Learn more about our vehicle donation program at MaterDeiRadio.com.
It's Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken with their View from the Pew on Mater Dei Radio.
I don't know if, Scott, it's because I'm getting older that time seems to be going by faster and faster, or that I've come to a point in my faith where I look at Lent as a great opportunity. And so the sacrifices that I give up don't seem to as affect me, like I'm not dredging, you know, when is this ever going to come to an end? Because I'm looking at, now that we're in the sixth week of Lent, it's here. This Sunday, it is Palm Sunday, and we move into Holy Week. So we're going to just take on each of these days as we move from Palm Sunday, the Hosanna, to the Passion, crucify him. And there's a lot of things that are going on in between. And so we're going to talk about each one of these days. So as we begin with Palm Sunday, as a mom in the pew, I have one cardinal rule with the kids. You may hold on to your palms, but the moment you poke each other with it, yeah, I'm taking them back. It's a big day. It is an ushering in, Christ coming into the city. We read the Passion on Palm Sunday, and it's just another one of these liturgies that is filled with sight, with sound, with smell. It really brings in all of our senses and leads us into this week.
Yeah, you know, that's a great way to describe it. And it really emphasizes how we are brought into the church so often by all of our senses. And we just kind of take that for granted until we see the grandeur of Easter and the preparation for Easter that the church brings forth. It's not different than Sunday Mass. We have incense at the 11 o'clock Mass. We have beautiful music that's sung. The senses, though, are heightened for sure on Palm Sunday. And a lot of it stems from the fact that we open the liturgy with the gospel reading,
right?
The gospel of Christ entering into Jerusalem and the crowd singing Hosanna. So there's it's like there's a trumpet call that things are shifting, things are changing. What has been normal, what has been maybe comfortable, and let's just think of the disciples of the time, they were comfortable to a degree following Jesus and trusting Jesus is going to do all that, this stuff for us, until they come to realize that something's shifting here, and it will shift very fast in their life from Palm Sunday through the Passion Week. So he's enters the city with open arms, and he in a short while will be, those same arms will be beating Jesus. Real contrast, and I think that's the disciples must have been in super shock. But for us, our senses are brought in to certainly engage into the week, the Passion Week that we are in. Yes, the resurrection's coming, but we need to just be a part of the Passion Week. If you can take part in that, all those days have great value and meaning to us.
Oh, for sure. Now, for those who are in the Portland area, part of the Archdiocese of Portland, their Chrism Mass is scheduled to take place on Monday, March 25th, a beautiful opportunity for people who live in the area that can get to St. Mary's Cathedral. Such a powerful liturgy, the blessing of the three oils. I remember the first time that I went to Chrism Mass, watching the Archbishop blow the prayer and the blessing, like with his breath to bless the oils. I just remember thinking, what a beautiful opportunity. So I just remind our listeners, if you are in the area or even close to your cathedral, if you have an opportunity to attend a Chrism Mass, that is just such a beautiful opportunity to be able to do that.
Yeah, that is. And to understand fully why the Chrism Mass takes place, I think a lot of parishioners are unaware that is the seal, if you will, not only of Christ. Obviously, that's what we use chrism for. We use the holy oils for. We do so much with those oils throughout the year, but they come blessed from the archbishop or bishop of the diocese. If you live in a diocese like Portland, you have an archbishop, because it's a metropolitan. There's a big community in Portland. But if you're in a small diocese, it might just be the bishop that will do that. But nonetheless, it attaches, it connects all those who will be baptized through the year, all those who will be confirmed through the year. It connects them with that pastor, who is the ordinary of the diocese. It is, for Portland, Archbishop Sample. And so it's his thumbprint through Christ's grace of I am your shepherd, and I have responsibility for you, and you are connected to me, and I love you in that way. That's the beauty of Chrism Mass, connecting the Archbishop to everybody in the diocese who he has to pastor.
No doubt. Now, as that Chrism Mass takes place on Monday, we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, this little pause, this buildup as we get ready. There are some practical tips that we can do if you have not had an opportunity to attend confession. That's the time that you want to do it, before the beginning of the Triduum on Thursday. Another great tip that I found at dynamiccatholic.com, it's also common on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, keep this in mind, to deep clean your house. You may be thinking about like spring cleaning, but here's what's interesting about cleaning a home leading up to the Triduum. According to Dynamic Catholic, that tradition of deep cleaning your home arises from the Jewish custom of preparing the home for Passover. So I think about that. What a great opportunity to be, we'll say, the Martha during the week.
Right.
The necessary work that has to be done in every household in preparation, because you want to have all of those things done. I'm thinking about my schedule as a mom with who's going to have a meal ready on Sunday. I want to have it all done, so that way I don't have to spend any time during the Triduum to have to go and do that busyness. I want to be Mary sitting at the foot of Jesus listening. There's got to be time to be Martha, and let Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday be those days to be Martha, because you know what it's like when we're trying to prepare for a big holiday.
That is just beautiful that you can make that connection. I hadn't even thought of the week unfolding with the beauty of Mary and Martha and being so connected to the dynamic of our who we are, because we are at times very much about the business of the household, but we also have to be about the business of the Lord. And it's that both and, that Catholic call. So I think that's beautiful to put that in that light. And, you know, we just read the reading of Lazarus for the scrutiny this past Sunday for those masses that had the scrutiny reading. And so we connect Lazarus and Mary and Martha to what is coming, the resurrection. And Mary and Martha are about loving Jesus in their own way. And let's do Martha at the beginning of the week. Let's do Mary at the end of the week. I think that's just awesome.
And just because those characters are women, that means, men, you do have your part. So this is just a forewarning for our son. He's got to get that lawn mower tuned up for the springtime, because it's all got to be ready for this celebration. Because as a family, we do all participate in this for as much of it as we can. So let's move into this Holy Week now. Holy Thursday. That is the beginning of this Triduum. And the Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and then Holy Saturday, that Easter vigil. That is a liturgical season. It's a mini season, right, leading into that. And we have to remember that and pay attention and give it its part. We cannot rush through the Triduum to get to Easter Sunday. And it's right. It's a very focused time in prayer. Holy Thursday, that is the night of the installation of the Eucharist. And what a beautiful opportunity to watch as people from your parish, 12 of them, have their feet washed by the priest or by the deacon. Such a beautiful remembrance of that night. They were preparing for Passover.
Right, right. No, that is just, it's so humbling for everyone involved to see that gentle representation of Christ's presence in preparation. And I think it brings to mind that when we have a suffering in life that we want to rush to be away from it, like my back, I want to be done with it. But in our rush, we may miss opportunity for what that can be to help us focus more on Christ. Our rush is often to get back to the way it was, maybe to where I was comfortable. And maybe that wasn't where I need to be. So again, Christ doesn't bring the pain on. He doesn't will that, but he may allow it for honing our focus back to what's most important. And life is what's most important. And that life is only life in Christ. And so when you talked about that, I thought that, wow, that's a good reminder. Let's walk through the suffering with Christ. Let's walk through the passion with Christ, knowing that it is not the end, to live that that gospel passage of John 16. This is not the end. I have overcome it at the resurrection.
And what people will also see at the end of the service, we're going to call it for Holy Thursday, is that the Eucharist is taken out of the church and placed in another area. And it will be an opportunity to, for people to have a holy hour or holy time throughout the evening. But the Mass isn't over. It's uniquely linked to the three nights. And so you won't hear, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. No, because it is going to continue to carry on to Good Friday. I can remember, Scott, when I was younger, thinking, why they call it Good Friday? Jesus died on Good Friday. That's not good. He suffered so, so tremendously. Mm-hmm. But it is called Good Friday for very, very important reason. The biggest reason, in fact, for all of salvation history.
It's that Mass, as you said, that Mass that continues on. And on Good Friday, we have a communion service, which is an extension of the Mass from Holy Thursday. And it begins very solemnly with the entrance of the clergy. And the clergy come and they prostrate themselves on the altar. It's the one time of year that we do that. And we lay down in like we did on our day of ordination. It reminds the clergy of our commitment that we vowed to Christ that we will serve his people and be Christ's presence to his people. So there's a great tie there. So when you see that, just the prayers we feel people praying over us as we're laying down are palpable. It's yes. just a real sense of humility. But Good Friday, it's good because this is the shift that ultimately will happen in the world from the crucifixion of Christ. Why we have the cross that is so important when we enter into the church, to have a corpus on the cross, is to remember that's the good news, that is not the end. Yes, the resurrection is the glory, but that Christ loved us so much that he died. That's the beauty, that he was willing to die for us. That's how much love he had. How much love can we have in our relationships with our spouses, with our friends and family? We have to be willing to be a disciple of Christ, to carry on that ongoing death of self for the other.
Absolutely. And again, on Good Friday, because it is a continuation, there is not a consecration of the hosts, but the hosts are brought back in from Holy Thursday. It is a communion service, and then we leave in silence again. Now that moves us on to Holy Saturday. And this, I don't know if I remember as much when I was younger attending this, but boy, this has just become such an incredible Mass celebration. Again, the continuation of what we have been doing the two nights previous. You talked about in the opening of our show today, the preparation that you do in singing that beautiful exalted, that song to the Easter candle. Most parishes around the country begin that service with a bonfire outside, a blessing of that Easter candle. They put the little pins into that cross, and then it is processed into a dark church. But we all have our candles. And for me, sitting in the pews and waiting for the light to come to me, and then me being able to pass that on, and how quickly the dark church is glowing, that light of Christ. And it is just, again, all of the senses come together in our best way possible is this liturgy.
With our whole heart and focus on those who are coming into the church, that's the beauty of Easter Vigil. It is the rebirth of the church. We are rebirthed through conversion, or conversion of others who enliven. If you're a cradle Catholic and you've never been to an Easter Vigil, you should go to an Easter Vigil, because 100%. It is that beautiful tension that we need cradle Catholics and we need converts to the faith, who both lift one another in unique and precious ways to be alive for Christ. And boy, you just see it come together at the Easter Vigil. You know, so just some practical things to be grateful for is all of that preparation that those young altar servers, the acolytes, the deacons, the priests, the bishops, the music ministry, all the volunteers who come to prepare for ushering and for taking care of the Eucharist. There's so many moving parts in a given Mass, and that's only heightened on these special nights. And so each night we prepare early. We have a practice early. And that is, so all the kids are gathered, all the people are gathered to who are going to take part in the Mass to do a run-through. So there's a lot of preparation. So when you see people, thank them for what they're doing. Pray for them that they engage into this well and know that that they are doing it out of love for you as servants of Christ.
And of course, for you, a rest in the evening, that night, it goes by quickly because we are back for Mass on Easter Sunday, that beautiful, beautiful morning. And we're going to talk more about that in our next episode of View from the Pew. Just the practical note that I recognize and I remind myself and our children, those Easter Sunday liturgies are so, so full of people. Perhaps you're going to show up to church on that Easter Sunday, find somebody might be sitting in your regular spot, maybe somebody you've never met before. Introduce yourself. Tell them you're so happy to see them and encourage them to come back again. So Scott, before we end our show today, will you end us in prayer?
Lord, help us like you helped Peter to remember to follow you. Help us to do that this week. May we enter into this Palm Sunday weekend with a fervor in our heart to follow you, Lord. And may we just be gently led into the Passion, knowing that you do all for us and that we are full of grace because of you, because of your mother, because of St. Joseph, all who are praying for us to embrace this wonderful gift you give of your life for the salvation of souls. We ask all of this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And that is going to wrap it up for us this week. Please tune in next week as we share with you more stories about our faith, our family, and our View from the Pew.
God bless and continue to have a great night.
You've been listening to View from the Pew, a weekly look at faith and family life from a Catholic perspective with Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken. For more information on the Aikens and to listen to an archive of their previous shows, visit them online at materdayradio.com/pew. View from the Pew is produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon.